Following tape program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. You know, Elisa Profumo and I are always trying to patronize the local farmers, and we can often be seen at our local farmers markets. And, you know, you meet some of the most interesting characters at the farmers markets. I mean, the guys and gals that are actually involved in producing products for sustainable living. And my guest today is just one of those people. He's Paul Brown. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well.
And you have an interesting story, and I wanted to have you on the show because, interestingly enough, a lot of people in my audience have thought about making their own soap, including me. But the reality is that it's not as easy as it sounds. You think it's easy because if you've watched Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies, you know she's out there churning up lye soap and so on and so forth. And but it's not as easy as it sounds quite often, and ending up with a good product is not as easy as it sounds. But more importantly, when you and I got to talking about this, your website is called earthybrowns.com, correct?
Yes.
And you actually sell some of the finest soaps I've ever used. In fact, I use your soaps exclusively now. But your story is really interesting because you didn't start out playing around with soaps at all. You actually started out as a bee charmer, correct?
Yes.
How did this all come about?
Well, I got into brewing beer and brewing wine in the early 90s, and the honey was so expensive, I thought I would just try to do it myself, and it led into all kinds of other industries to be tied into it, using the beeswax as the byproduct, and now we turn our honey wine into vinegar and are selling a vinegar with the medicinal mother, the bacteria, in it as well.
Oh, wow, just like Paul Bragg made famous decades ago. Okay, so let's back up for a second. Honey, wine, and beer. So in other words, you were using honey to make a specific type of wine called honey mead, which is where the term honeymoon actually came from.
Yeah, absolutely. The oldest known beverage to man was alcoholic beverage
to
man.
Yeah, fermented honey turns into wine. But what about the beer? You were using honey to flavor the beer as well?
Well, no, I like the darker beers, and there wasn't a market like it is now. The micro brewing industry kind of took off, and you can get beer from anywhere around the world now, but back then you had to basically make your own if you wanted a certain style of beer.
Okay.
And we liked them really hoppy, so we made our own beers. But I got turned on to the honey wines, and I have since then I have turned on many people to brew honey wine, and actually there's some fellows in Ohio that I taught who actually have a business brewing mead for a living now.
Okay, so how hard is it? If you start out with honey, what do you do with it to make honey wine?
Well, you can, honey and water is the main ingredients, and you can either add your own yeast to it, or you can naturally catch a yeast from the air and let it do it itself.
Really? So it'll actually do it itself?
It will actually do it itself. There's a lot of things floating in the air that are really beneficial out there. And I try to use the natural things. I try to use the natural yeast to make our breads. I count our own bacteria that we make our vinegar out of. There's no reason to buy things that are floating right here around us.
So you take the honey and the wine, you mix it together in equal parts?
No, it's about, it's generally about 18 pounds of honey to 5 gallons of water.
And it
takes a lot of honey.
Okay, and you put this in a jug, or you have to put it in a cask? What do you put it in?
They call them carboys. It's a big glass fermenting tank. Well, most people use them for water jugs, and they've all gone to plastic now. But and you put a little fermenting lock on top of it, which keeps all the other bad things out and keeps your yeast in there going.
And lets some pressure escape from inside, in other words, while the fermentation process comes up. What about
the byproduct of CO2? And the CO2 pretty much keeps the air inside of it clean to keep anything else from going.
Do you have to let the air escape? Lisa was talking about the other day that when her grandfather used to make wine, he used to use a balloon, and when the balloon was completely filled up, he knew that the wine was ready. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I haven't heard of that one. That's kind of neat. I guess he put the balloon on the fermentation lock, and as the pressure filled the balloon, I guess he came up with a certain amount of size for fermentation.
That he knew when his wine was ready by the size of the balloon, I guess.
I use a hygrometer. There's a thing that you can float into your liquor, and it will. They call it a wort. You float it into this liquid, and it will tell you the sugars of start and finish.
Oh.
And you stick it into a little formula, and it'll tell you your alcohol by volume.
As a rule, how long do you have to let honey mead ferment?
Well, it depends on the yeast that you use. Some yeast are definitely more vigorous than others. Usually within 30 days, it's finished.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, and then you have to let it age. I usually let ours age a year before we drink them. I have some that are 17 years old now. We just keep bringing them out for special occasions.
Wow, that is so cool. Now, you don't sell the honey mead at the farmer's market, right?
Not allowed to.
Because it's alcohol.
I just got the okay to sell the vinegars, and I've started the production on that.
Now,
which is kind of odd because they won't let you sell the alcohol, but they'll let you sell a live bacteria.
Yeah. Well, alcohol is a totally different thing. Obviously, they're probably afraid. But there are wine tasting going on over there. I do see, Smith Berry has a little booth there. I don't understand
Absolutely.
What the deal is.
They're a great, great winery, too. The state requires you to actually purchase that sample. You have to give them a quarter or a dollar, whatever each winery is. But the state does require that you do sell that sample.
Right. All right, so let's talk a little about beeswax for a second, because that's going to allow us to segue into the next segment after the commercial break. So you had these bees, and you end up, how the heck do bees make wax? That's something I've always wondered about.
Well, we put a foundation in the hive to help start. It's made out of wax, and it helps the bees keep everything organized and to draw properly.
Is it paraffin wax?
Well, paraffin is a actual, this is petroleum.
Oh.
So they're making bees wax, and they have these little glands on their bellies, and they just produce it, and it's just the job of their one of their duties in the hive is to make wax and propolis. That's another byproduct of the hive is propolis.
Okay.
That's a whole other subject there, but there's medicinal values in the propolis now as well.
Really?
And we started selling that too. When people request it, I'll sell some of it to people. I don't produce enough to sell it on the market yet, but
okay.
It's basically a glue that the bees produce in the hive to glue everything together.
Ah.
And they make it out of tree sap.
Okay.
and it is the stickiest, hardest thing to manipulate into the hive. And it's what stains all the beekeepers. It's not the wax or the honey that gets on us. It's always the propolis that stains us.
Wow, that's interesting. So now the beeswax, you had this abundance of beeswax, and you found out, because you were working construction at the time, that it was good for your chapped hands, right?
Right. My hands would bleed every year, and I tried every product on the market, and some worked for a little bit, and some worked better than others, and I just started doing the research and finding out all these different properties of the oils and got all this information and made my own hand balm. And from there, I had all this gathered information, and we started doing lip balms as well.
Kind of like Burt's Bees. That's
right.
How he got started, too. Yeah, interesting. Here's what we have to do. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick it up on the other end a little bit more about the bees before we get into the soap, because I have some questions for you about bee pollen. We're talking with Paul Brown. His website is earthybrowns.com. I personally use his soap and love it. We're going to talk more about the soap when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal testosterone boosting patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building, fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Paul Brown from earthybrowns.com. Amazing soap products. I mean, really, I've used a lot of different soaps over the years, always searching for something good, something that doesn't dry me out, something that makes my skin feel like, well, like it's not all dry and crusty. And I haven't found anything like Paul Brown's soaps. I mean, they're the best. Small batches, great product. All right, so Paul, I got a question for you. What is bee pollen? I get a good friend of mine sends me bee pollen. Carlos Cardenas sends me bee pollen from California all the time. What exactly is bee pollen?
Well, it's what they collect from the flowers to come back to feed the babies. I personally do not collect pollen. I feel that it takes away from the hive stability. It's almost like taking food from the baby is the way I look at it.
Right.
But a lot of people do request that product, and I try to tell people about, you know, you're basically entrapping the pollen before they can bring it into the hive.
Do they make the honey out of the pollen too?
Yes, that's what they make. It's basically the food that is to be fed to the brood, the babies.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't honey basically regurgitated by the bees? That's how they make honey. They eat something, they digest it, they regurgitate it?
Right. It's definitely, they bring it in from the flowers, regurgitate it, and hand it back over to another bee who then comes back and packs it into the cells. And then there's other bees who do nothing but aerate that to get the humidity control right in order to evaporate the water content out to make it honey.
Wow. What a process, huh? Okay, so beeswax actually ended up kind of causing you to think about making soap, right?
Yeah, one of my twins had eczema, and I started doing research and found out that all of the soaps on the market were basically made out of beef fat, and they hide it by calling it tallow weight or tallow.
Right.
And I just didn't feel that was the best soaps, and the further I did research, I found that none of the soaps contain glycerin anymore, which is a natural byproduct of the oils when you turn it into soap. And the bigger soap companies are making just as much money reselling their glycerin as
right.
their soap.
I'll be done. Because glycerin is also a food product now, too.
They use it for food. They use it for heart medication. They use it for nitroglycerin to make dynamite.
Right.
Big implications, but the glycerin is an important thing in our soaps. We shouldn't be taking it out.
Okay. So you decided, and plus, the beef tallow isn't a problem in and of itself as much as it's from cows that are being fed corns and grains, and it's the wrong type of fat to begin with. It's actually pro-inflammatory type fat, and then you're rubbing this on your body.
Right. We won't eat any animal that's been fed corn. I refuse to eat the corn, canola, or the soy.
Right. Right.
I've taken that out of my diet completely, my family's diet, and it's one of the hardest things to take out of your diet. Because it's just in everything. Most people don't even know what canola is.
Right. And matter of fact, I never knew what canola was either until Elisa's cousin, Bill, who we're going to actually have on the show. He's a scientist who studies weeds and grapes and so on and so forth. And he told me a story about a Canadian farmer who was growing a special type of canola. And he worked for 50 years to keep hybridizing it, to come up with a more robust version of it. And then Monsanto planted some GMO canola across the way, and the pollen infiltrated his crop. He had to destroy his crop in 50 years worth of work because of Monsanto's accusation that he was impinging on their GM patent.
That's right. So, and from the research I've done, there's only 10% of the original rapeseed left in our nation. It's all been contaminated by this GMO. Yeah. And the original rapeseed is poisonous. We can't even eat it. You know, the Canadians come up with a way to genetically modify this rapeseed to get rid of the acid that's in it.
Oh.
And they can't even get it all out. They still sell it with 3% of this acid in it. And it's eucreic acid. And it should have a warning label on there for infants, elderly people, and people with immune deficiencies, but it's never talked about.
And you know what? And they talk about rapeseed oil like it's something beneficial. I've seen a lot of products that boast that they're made with rape, and that's R-A-P-E for those of you. We're not talking about grape, G-R-A-P-E, because grape seed oil is actually beneficial, but rape, R-A-P-E seed oil, is now being used in mayonnaise and stuff like that.
Yes. Absolutely, and they don't have to tell you it's genetically modified either. I mean, but Canada owns basically the patent on it, and it's an acronym, Canadian Oil Low Acid, is what canola stands for.
I never knew that. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you, like many of our listeners, we avoid corn at all costs because most of it is GMO now. Plus, corn is really not a good thing to eat in large quantities because it causes a lot of fat creation in the body. So you started looking into the soap products for your daughter, and you decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and make soap. Is it easy to make soap, Paul? It sounds like it's easy. I saw Granny do it on the Beverly Hillbillies when I was a kid.
Well, the old-fashioned way of soap is everybody collected their grease. Everybody had a can on their stove that they collected all their fats from.
Right.
You know, at some point, everybody started eating those fats instead of making soap out of them, but generally, you would say all the women would get together and bring all their grease together, and then they would take their ashes from the fires, and ashes are what produces lye as a byproduct, which is sodium hydroxide. And they would just mix their ashes with their oils, and you would end up with a really dirty, harsh soap.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because of all the ash, the burnt components in there.
Right. All the soap is always a dirty color, and it was usually it was never consistent because you didn't have a consistent base of wood ashes. Depending on what type of tree you were burning, you ended up with a different kind of ash. So we buy pure sodium hydroxide now, and it's all scientific now. You have formulas. Your lye is basically a alkali, and all oils are acidic.
Right.
And it's like adding vinegar to baking soda, and you get this energy release and bubbles with the vinegar and baking soda.
Right.
But with soap, you have a saponification of the oils, which hardens them up and turns them into soap. And we didn't like the traditional beef fat soap, so we got to looking into what was traditionally used, and olive oil used to be the traditional soap.
As a matter of fact, olive oil was the soap of kings. Back in the day, the Spaniards, they came up with Castile soap, which was the finest soap made, and it was made from 100% olive oil, correct?
That is correct. We make two styles of soaps. We do a Castile, which is 100%, then we do a Mercil, which is 72% olive oil. And those are the ones that we actually scent with essential oils, and we add other organic oils for better lathering. Olive oil itself doesn't have the best lather.
Right.
But lather is not what cleans you, but everybody is so used to a lather.
Right,
so,
right. Well, let's talk about that. The surfactant process. Lather is not what cleans you. What does clean you when you're using soap?
It's the soap. It is the surfactant value of the soap. It's
right.
The lathering is not that. Lathering is not a direct surfactant.
Right. It's not indicative of the surfactant quality of soap.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yep. But olive oil soaps, nobody wants to make olive oil soaps because they can take sometimes 2 to 3 times longer to saponify.
Why is that? Is the olive oil more robust than other oils?
I would just say it's the types of oils that are made up in the olive oil. But some people like to add other things to help the olive oil set up quicker. Some people even add beeswax to help it set up.
Now, does beeswax have a value other than to cause it to set up faster? Is there some value to washing yourself with beeswax?
No, it does not. I don't think that soaps should have beeswax in them, so we do not use beeswax in our soaps.
Okay. Could beeswax clog the pores easier?
I have read both arguments. I believe in using a small percentage of beeswax in our body oils. But as far as soap, we should be cleaning our body and not trying to put other oils on your body. And when you make soap, you're using a caustic soda, which is your sodium hydroxide.
Which is lye, right? That's actually lye. Okay.
Right. You have to have lye to make soap. There's no way to make soap without it. And to make liquid soap, you have to have potassium hydroxide, which is still lye. But you have to have that chemical in there. And it is derived from wood ashes, but they've just come up with a nice cleaner way to do it, and you don't have the dirt left in it.
Gotcha.
But the olive oils have such high glycerin content. There's just no better. I've tried every oil possible to make soap, and nothing beat the olive oil soap.
Now, for those people out there who have atopic dermatitis, which is the technical name for eczema, which my daughter Taylor suffered from a very young age, and if I only knew what I know now back then, how well did it work for your daughter when you started to make your own? First of all, did you use Castile or the other 72% version with her?
We started with the Castile. I made the first batch of soap that I made to practice on myself. I was my own guinea pig. I was using lard, pig fat.
Really?
And it makes the hardest bar of soap and long-lasting. And once I started making soap, I realized that in order to make a really good bar of soap, you need to leave 3% extra oils in your soap. And I didn't feel good about leaving 3% of lard to leave on my body.
Right.
It just didn't feel right to rub lard on my body.
Right, right. You don't want to go to work smelling like a hot dog, that's for sure.
No. and if you don't add scents to lard, it smells like bacon. The soap smells like bacon, yeah. But all of Dove, Dial, all of these soaps are generally 40 to 60% animal fat.
Really? All of them?
Yeah.
All of them?
All of them are now.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about how you make soap. And also, there are people out there who want to make their own soap. It's not as easy as it sounds. In fact, it's quite dangerous, as Paul Brown is going to discuss. For those of you who may want to endeavor this yourself, you really need to go into this with both eyes open. No pun intended. We're talking with Paul Brown. His website is Earthy Browns. BROWNS.com. The finest soap I've ever found in my life. Check it out. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic.
Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You cannot be superhuman if you're dirty. And if you're using the wrong types of soap, you're going to be not, you may not be dirty, but you're going to be crusty and dried out looking. And you're going to ruin your skin. You definitely shouldn't be using bar soap on your face. We've talked about that with Elisa. She's done several shows. We've talked about caring for your skin. But guess what? You can use these types of bar soaps on your face because they're made from natural olive oil and natural oils in general. Okay, so real quick question. What about coconut oil as an oil for soap? Is that a good one?
Yes and no. If you use more than 20% coconut oil in your soap, it becomes harsh. Coconut oil is a super abrasive soap to your body. And unfortunately, a lot of people are using more and more coconut oils in their soaps. Dr. Bonner's now uses more than 50% coconut oil in his soaps, and he calls his soaps Castile.
Really? I thought you can't. Now, I know that you're really staunch about this, because one day you and I were talking, I was saying, well, what about this? And you said, no, that's not Castile, you said, because that's the one that has the anise that I like and the clay in it or something. Like you said,
right.
No, only thing I can call Castile is 100% olive oil. So are you saying that that is not a standard that is monitored? So there are people out there calling Castile soap Castile when it's really not?
Absolutely. And even on his website, it even says the original soaps Castile meant 100% olive oil. But now it's taken on the term of vegetable soaps.
Ah.
But coconut oil is the only, if you turn it into, if you use 100% coconut oil, it's the only soap that will lather in the ocean.
Oh, so in other words, salt water.
Right.
And that's probably why they use a little coconut oil to give it that lathering quality, then, huh?
Right. And it's usually the active ingredient in all of your eco laundry detergents. Because it is so strong.
Huh. So you can use coconut oil. Do you use coconut oil in under 20% concentrations?
I use it in our Mercil soap. And in our Mercil soap, I use palm kernel, and coconut oil. And each of those has a different size bubble.
Really?
And they lather. Right. They're just unique in themselves, and I've just worked with different concentrations to get the lather that I wanted in our Mercil soap. But we only use organic oils. That's another big issue that I have is the way that the oil is derived. And, especially with olive oil. If it just says olive oil on it, there was a chemical process to get that olive oil. There's basically.
You mean they don't just press it, you know, then squeeze the oil out of the olive?
Three grades of olive oil, extra virgin, virgin, and pomace grade. First pressing is extra virgin, second is virgin, and then they take all the remaining fruit, seed, everything, grind it down, and then add chemicals to it to extract it. And that is called pomace grade. If you're buy an oil that says olive oil, it is a combination of palmist grade and virgin or extra virgin.
Oh, so if it just says olive oil, it's a combination of two. So you're going to have some chemicals in there that are used for the extraction process.
Absolutely.
So extra virgin is the best, right?
Extra virgin is the best, and we use all virgin oils, and they're all organic.
Okay, okay. So now let's talk about the process of making soap. Like I said jokingly before, Granny used to do it on the Beverly Hillbillies. I've always had this desire to make my own soap. I thought it was just you mix some stuff together, pour it in a sheet pan with a form, let it get hard, cut it into squares, and you've got soap. But it's not that at all, is it?
No, there's a lot of thermodynamics involved. The sodium hydroxide, when I add my lye to the water, it will bring 30-degree water, partially frozen water, almost to a boil.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you actually start out with frozen water for that reason?
Yes, I start off with cold water, and I also make a cold water bath to try to control the temperature.
Mm.
But you have your oils that are melted, and then you have your water and lye mixture, and you want them at a equal temperature when you add them, usually about 110 degrees.
So you have to warm your oils up to meet the temperature of the lye water combination.
Yeah, and you have to bring that temperature down to meet the oils.
Okay. Oh, because you don't want it too because you don't want to heat the oils too far, because then they change, right?
Well, when you add the two together, you have to keep mixing. Some people use hands, and some people use hand method, blenders. Everybody's got their own little tools that they like to use, but you basically just stir this solution until what they call a trace happens, and it looks like custard. It just starts to get really thick.
Mm.
And during that time, your temperature is going from 110 degrees rising upward to 160, 170 degrees.
So the thermal activity continues to occur when you mix the oils into it. It gets hotter.
It happens for 24 hours. Once you pour this into the mold, I have double insulated. I use wood molds, and I've made them twice as thick as what most people's are to help hold the heat in. But when I come back 24 hours later, my molds are still hot to touch.
160 degrees.
Sometimes more.
Holy mackerel. Okay, so now do you want to keep the heat in during the hardening process?
That is where the process of the chemical action is going on within that 24-hour period. Everything is bonding and given away and taken away, and that's where the true saponification of the soap happens.
Ah, so you have a greater homogeneity to the bar all the way through that way if you let it slowly cool. Okay. So 24 hours later. Now, I have to imagine you have to have a special room to do this in as well.
Yeah, I have to actually have a commercial kitchen by the state that I make all of our products in. Once I take that soap out of the wooden box, I have to then let it age for 30 days.
It's not ready to go.
Well, it's ready to go, but it will melt so quick, and there is still a chemical process going on in this aging process.
Does it give up the moisture in that 30 days? Is that what it is?
Absolutely. I shoot for about a 33% moisture content in the beginning, and when I'm done, I'm probably left with about a 10%.
If you were to age it even longer, would that yield a harder bar that would last longer?
But the problem is they shrink and they get sometimes they get brittle.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The olive oil if you let it cure for 2 to 3 months, it turns solid white and it is hard as a rock.
Really?
But it does last long. Olive oil soaps last longer than any other soaps, but they take longer to make as well.
Now, does adding fragrances, naturally, you use natural fragrances, right? Things that, you know.
Essential oils only.
Essential oils. Like the bar that I like, the anise with the clay in it, right? It does have clay in it. Isn't that what gives it the red color?
Yes. Okay. I use clay in a couple of our bars. I use a French green clay and a pink rose.
Now, that clay is there to act as an exfoliating agent, correct?
Right.
Okay. And so,
like a lot of people like color, whether they want to use it for the beneficial properties, some people just like a colored bar.
Right.
But the club.
I'm sorry, you have to repeat that. I think your cell phone just broke up a little bit.
The clays are beneficial to us.
Yeah, because clay also is a moisturizer. We know that. I mean, they use clay for a variety of reasons, and clay masks and all that sort of stuff. It helps the body retain some of its moisture, correct?
Right, right. So, and I like to use the French green clay more than any of them.
Why?
Well, it's organic in nature. They're all organic in nature, but I just like it's old plants. It's just neat in the fact that it's old plants fossilized by the volcanoes. It is a plant-based
now
clay.
When you start adding these types of particulate components into a bar of soap, does that then change how you have to handle the soap? Does it become more prone to getting too hard or staying too soft?
Absolutely. When you add some of these clays to them, and some of the essential oils will act different as well. It'll make it saponify. It'll make it trace quicker. It'll make it set up as I'm in my pot.
As I'm stirring it,
it'll get really hard really quick.
How many years have you been making soaps now, Paul?
I believe this is the fourth year.
So this has been a learning process for you, right?
It has been a learning process.
Now, you told me recently we were talking, and you mentioned that you had to go out and buy something to manage the humidity in the room while the soap is curing, right?
The more soaps that we make, the more humidity that is brought into the room. So I've had to change my curing rooms out, and I do believe if I go any more production, I'm going to add dehumidifiers to the room.
Is there a threat that if someone did want to make soap at home, obviously you can go on the internet and find the methodology to make soap. Is there a potential for a danger, explosion, or anything like that?
Yeah, if the lye is very caustic, you get one granule, just like a salt granule on you, and it will burn. It burns. It's a chemical burn like you've never had before.
Really?
Really. And you want to add the lye to the water and not the water to the lye. If you add the water to your lye, it can cause an explosion. If you add the lye to your water, it dilutes down and doesn't cause this to happen. But the temperature rises so fast that it can cause it to erupt.
Wow. Okay. So
that is probably the most important thing. If anybody's going to make soap, anything that they read on the internet usually declares that as do not mix your water to your lye. Mix your lye to your water.
Interesting. And so when you're doing this, Paul, are you like got rubber gloves up to your elbows and you got a special outfit on and stuff?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I used to wear goggles and face masks. And to me, I felt like I was clumsier with all the equipment. I've got a nice, safe procedure that I do it in now. And I have yet to have an accident. I wore a pair of goggles for a while, and I dropped them into a bucket of soap and ruined a batch of soap.
Oh, no. That's...
So I choose the dangerous method, I guess you could say. But
yeah. Well, I want to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your pump soaps, your liquid soaps, because that's something new that you've added to the mix as well. We're talking with Paul Brown. Really, I've got Paul on the show because I love his soaps, and I've used a lot of different soaps, hemp soaps. I mean, you name them. I've used them because I'm always in search of a soap that doesn't leave me feeling all dried out. And I love his soaps. If you go to earthybrowns.com, you can learn more. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com.
PharmAgLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody that over the course of a 6-month period, we'll be giving away 108 Shaker Pro bottles on this show. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com, enter once, and have 108 chances to win. We're giving away 18 a month. Later in the week, we'll have Andy Hammond on to give away the first 18 for August. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and enter to win a Shaker Pro shaker bottle today. Whoa, we lost them. Listen to some music for a second. While I get him back on the air, the magic of live radio. Uh-oh. We may not have him back on the air. Okay, hold on, Paul, hold on. The wonder of cellular telephone technology. All right. We only have a couple more minutes. We're going to wrap up the interview anyway. All right. So I got a question for you. You also now have a bunch of soft soaps, pump hand soaps and stuff.
I do. I'm trying to get everybody off of these body washes that people should not be using.
Why? Why do you say they shouldn't be using them?
Oh, my gosh. They're full of petroleum byproducts and skin irritants. Yeah. And if anybody's using them, they should look up what they're using on Cosmetic Database, and it will fill them in on every product that's in these things.
Cosmetic Database. Is that like cosmeticdatabase.com?
Yes.
I got to write that down. Yeah, okay.
They also go by skindeep.com, too.
Oh, I like that even better, skindeep.com. All right, so now the new liquid soaps, are they also made with essential oils and olive oils, or are they something else?
I do the same style soaps, the Castile and the Mercil. The only difference is instead of using sodium hydroxide, I use a potassium hydroxide, which makes a liquid version of the same soap.
Interesting. So there's still a saponification process that occurs.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a little different.
Now, obviously it still has its surfactant qualities, even though it's liquid and not a bar.
Absolutely.
Elisa wanted me to make sure to ask you do you sell large refill bottles or do you have to buy the small pumps over and over again?
I am going to start packaging them in mason jars for refills. That way you can reuse the jar as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea as well. Now, do you have a website that I've been plugging here, earthybrowns.com. Do you actually sell nationally if someone wants to reach out to you and order some soap from you?
Absolutely. We're in 38 stores right now, just this year.
Really?
Yeah, it's been an embarkment that I had never seen coming, and I've had to quit remodeling, and I am focusing strictly on making cosmetics at this point.
Cosmetics meaning soaps.
Soaps, hand balms, lip balms, body oils, lotion sticks, shaving products for men and women.
Wow. Wow. Now I have to let my audience know another side of you. You and I were talking. You were in the contracting business for a long time, and you bought up some rental properties, but you've taken some of those lots, and instead of putting homes on them, you've put orchards on them here in Louisville, haven't you?
Well, I rent the house out, but they don't get the yard.
Okay.
I turn the yard into orchards, and I put beehives in different properties and just try to be as self-sufficient as possible.
So you actually use everything that let me back up. A lot of the products that you use in the soaps, you make yourself, and all of your foods pretty much you get yourself. I mean, you have your own gardens, your own orchards, and all this other stuff.
We can and freeze anywhere between 200 to 500 pints and quarts of vegetables every year to help feed the family through the winter.
Yeah. So you are a big believer in sustainable living then?
Absolutely. I've always been that way. Everybody should grow their own.
Right. Right. And you know what? We've actually started a small movement on this show. We have people who are now growing their own vegetable gardens on their balconies. And you know, if they live in a flat as opposed to a nice big home with a backyard, they're still growing things. And we're big proponents of that, obviously. We're also big proponents on the show of patronizing the small family farms in the area, which leads me to a question before we close the show. I love raw unpasteurized honeys, especially local honeys, which are made from local beehives, and it has a lot of good value to them. And you shared something with me that I've never been really clear about. When I buy my quote-unquote raw honey, and it's supposed to be unfiltered, you're saying it really is quite often, isn't it?
Every beekeeper uses a screen to filter their honey. It might be a small micron, it might be a large micron, but every one of them uses it. It's just a standard practice.
If there's nothing murky in your honey, it's been filtered.
Absolutely. You will always see little peppery flakes in our honey. And I call them bee's knees. But, you know, we take our honey and we let it set for a week or so, and all the wax floats to the top and the honey floats to the bottom, and that's what I sell.
The honey at the bottom.
Yeah, I do not filter it. I do not heat it. But most, I would say 99% of beekeepers will minimally filter, if not heat it. And they heat it just to make it easier for bottling.
Oh, so it's not a pasteurization process. It just increases viscosity.
Right.
But in that process of heating it, they do damage some of the beneficial factors in the honey, don't they?
Absolutely. And all the solids are taken out. And those solids are pollens and other beneficial things that we really need in the raw honey. But it takes longer to do this process. And I usually charge a little more for that, but it is truly raw honey.
Wow, that's amazing. Now I've heard this story told to me so many times by bee charmers. They'll tell me if you get a cut and you really do have truly raw honey, that by putting raw honey on an open wound will actually make it heal 3 to 4 times faster than normal. Is that true?
I don't know about that fast, but it actually it's antibiotic. It will not let anything else contaminate that wound. Nothing. Honey is the only thing that does not go bad. It can't spoil. Nothing will grow on it. So it does have this great antibacterial property for it.
Interesting. I never thought about that. Honey never goes bad, huh?
It will never go bad. They've taken honey out of Egyptian tombs and heated it up and were able to eat it.
Wow. That is pretty cool. That is really, really cool. Now, what's going on with the honeybees, in your opinion? Everybody talks about the honeybees are disappearing. I know the bee charmers are helping to replenish the bees, but what do you think is going on with the bees?
It is us. Everybody wants green grass. Everybody wants to spray their yards, and it is definitely the pesticides and herbicides being used on the yards that I believe is killing our bees.
Yeah.
People spray their yards and are spraying flowers. My bees eat the flowers. They bring it back to the hive, and then they become more susceptible to things like Nosemas and just basic influenzas that bees catch are wiping them out.
So do you have to plant a lot of wildflowers and stuff like that when you have a beehive so that they just stay close to home and they eat, or what do you do?
Well, I have some in my orchard, but I have spread the bees out throughout the city here, and I do have some in the country. But a lot of beekeepers like to feed their bees sugar. And the biggest thing that most beekeepers are feeding their bees is high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
And if you ask your beekeeper where you're getting your honey from, I would be willing to bet they're going to say they feed them high fructose corn syrup.
So they feed the bees high fructose corn syrup, and then the bees make a honey that probably has some characteristics of the high fructose corn syrup in it.
Absolutely. It's a really thin, bland honey. Doesn't have a lot of character in it. You can see right through it. It's to me, it's not real honey.
Wow.
And honey from the city has the most unique flavor because there's so many non-native plants that people plant in their yard.
Uh-huh.
So my honey has just the most unique flavor.
Wow, that's really
amazing.
And I
have honey in the country. I have hives in the country, and the honey will be the same color but will taste so uniquely different.
Because of the different plants that they're foraging from.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Hey, listen, we've come to the end of the interview. I know that you've been real, real hard to get a hold of. You work round the clock producing soaps and caring for your bees and all that. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show and talk to us about making your own soap.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. And remember, his website is earthybrowns.com. Check it out. He's got a lot of great stuff up there. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Paul.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, and we'll be on tomorrow with another live episode of Superhuman Radio, so tune in then.